Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Court papers released yesterday show the FBI recovered documents labeled top secret when it executed a search warrant this week at former President Trump's Florida estate. The papers did not reveal exactly what were contained in the documents. The warrant stated the agents were investigating potential violations of federal laws, including espionage and the removal of government records. The House voted 220 to 207 yesterday to approve a roughly $700 billion bill to address climate change, drug prices, and health care. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports the bill heads next to President Biden for his signature.
Democrats approved the bill in both the House and the Senate without any votes from Republicans. The legislation is the product of more than a year of negotiations on what began as a much larger bill that encompassed the bulk of President Biden's domestic agenda. Roughly half of the spending in this bill is dedicated to reducing emissions through tax credits and incentives. The legislation also allows Medicare to negotiate to cut the cost of prescription drugs and extend several elements of the Affordable Care Act that were set to expire. Much of the spending is offset with changes to tax enforcement and policy, including a new 15% minimum tax on companies with more than $1 billion in earnings. Kelsey Snell, NPR News, Washington.
Author Salman Rushdie was severely injured yesterday in western New York. His agent says he's now in a ventilator after undergoing surgery. State Police Major Eugene Stanislavski says Rushdie was attacked as he was about to deliver a lecture.
The suspect jumped onto the stage and attacked Mr. Rushdie, stabbing him at least once in the neck and at least once in the abdomen.
He says a 24-year-old man is in custody. Rushdie's 1988 book, The Satanic Verses, drew death threats from Iran as blasphemous. Cleanup and rebuilding efforts continue in eastern Kentucky 2 weeks after historic flooding struck the central Appalachian region. President Biden had visited earlier in the week. From member station WEKU, Stan Ingold has more.
Letcher County, Kentucky is situated in the far southeastern part of the Commonwealth on the border with Virginia. It was hit hard by the devastating floods that killed dozens of people and damaged or destroyed many homes and businesses. Undersecretary of Rural Development Xochitl Torres-Small visited the town of Isom to see the damage. She praised the resilience of the people of eastern Kentucky.
Hardworking people who are there for each other, and the Biden-Harris administration wants to be there for eastern Kentucky. And that's why when President Biden was in the area, he committed a robust response.
Kentucky's governor, meanwhile, has been critical of FEMA's response, saying too many Kentuckians are being denied aid. For NPR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Richmond, Kentucky.
This is NPR News. Firefighters from across Europe are descending on France to help fight what's being called a monster fire that scorched thousands of acres and displaced thousands of people. Much of Europe has had weeks of baking temperatures and a worsening drought. Firefighters from countries such as Germany, Romania, and Greece are now on hand to help. Public health officials will soon begin testing wastewater in several cities for signs of the polio virus. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the decision was confirmed by the Public Health Agency of Canada and follows discoveries of polio cases circulating in other countries.
Canada has been free of polio since 1984, mainly because of the widespread use of the polio vaccine. But the health agency is now warning that it could return. A couple of weeks ago, New York State confirmed a single case, and there have been reports that the virus that causes the highly transmissible disease has been found in wastewater in New York City. The Health Agency of Canada says it will begin testing wastewater in Canada as soon as possible and has also been in contact with international partners to help finalize a wastewater testing strategy. Samples will be collected and sent to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Health authorities did not say when or where the testing in Canada will take place. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The World Health Organization wants to rename monkeypox, seeing suggestions from the public. Officials say some people express concern the term monkeypox could be derogatory or have racist connotations. It was first named in 1958 when researchers in Denmark noticed monkeys with the pox-like disease. This is NPR.